This hour of the Overdrive podcast is brought to you by Felix. Embarrassed to talk about erectile dysfunction in person? Felix can connect you to a doctor online to assess ED and, if applicable, deliver treatment to your door. Visit felix.ca.
All right, here we go. Overdrive off and running. TSN 1050 online, tsn1050.ca. Your home smart speaker and up on TSN 4. Brian Hayes. The O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Noodles away today, calling a game in Ottawa. Brady Tkachuk making his season debut tonight. Mm-hmm. So Noodles will be up close and personal for that. And it's a big day on the show because I just heard Matt Cos talk about it. People have been buzzing around the station. The O-Dog is cutting Al's brother out at the knees and will be going solo for his Thursday night pick tonight.
It's time. It's time that I start. I mean, wouldn't you agree, Hayes? You're a solo mission. I mean, you live and die with your own decisions, and you can kind of go to bed at night knowing it's on you. I have to hand over money from decisions that another person is making, and there's no consequence for him, right? He just gets on here, blah, 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 comes up with some stats and throws out a pick, and he sleeps like a baby at night. Do you know why? There is no consequences.
Right, yeah.
So I got a good feeling about being on my own. I'm a grown-ass man. I can ask around to a couple different people that I know, Coco being one of them, and I'll make a pick. It's all good.
Okay. Well, I like it, man. You're all grown up, and you're out on your own, and you're doing things. I like how Koliakovo is the sharp money that you're going to for advice.
Bang!
Yeah, that makes me actually feel even better. Al's brother has more insight on what's going to happen tonight than Koliakovo. I can tell you that right now. So I don't know if that's going to lead you down a more positive path. I don't believe Al's brother was involved in the Dodgers rolling in the NLCS, but I woke up this morning a very happy man. My Atlanta Braves looked great last night. I got Max Fried on the mound tonight.
Talk about not being phased. We talked about it possibly being over. The Dodgers are going to crush. They just stepped right up there and spanked them around. They're not intimidated, man. You got to give them credit for that win. That's a ballsy win.
Big time.
As Chris Sale would say, they left their balls out there in the field.
They most certainly did, and you know who's getting a lot of love is your boy Alex Anthopoulos, as he should. I saw Jeff Passan was tweeting about it last night leading up to the deadline. They traded for Adam Duvall, Jock Peterson, Eddie Rosario, who's been unbelievable.
And they've all been lights out since they've been acquired.
All been lights out, like all of them, and Anthopoulos went out there. Remember, we had him on a couple of weeks ago, and he talked about, you know, seizing the moment and chasing the opportunity and what he learned early in his career at the trade deadline when he thought he had a good enough team, but he didn't go all in. He was too afraid to do it. And he said, I'm just not going to do that anymore. Like, if I feel like I got a chance, I'm going for it. And clearly he felt like he had a chance around the trade deadline. And that's what's made up for Ozuna being away all year, Acuna being injured since July. You wouldn't know that those two studs are not even available to this team because all they do is mash. They get up and they mash, and they're up 3-1. Mary Hart can't handle the heat, and we'll see what comes of it tonight at Dodger Stadium. But it's trending towards an Atlanta-Houston World Series.
And people still love – there's something about this city where I don't necessarily know if you agree, but it's like general managers of sports teams are like put on this pedestal. Like, I think Anthopoulos in Atlanta is just kind of like the GM of the team. I don't know if it's like, do you not agree? Or?
Absolutely. They operate completely differently down there. The manager would get a lot of play.
Yeah,
the players
it's like
would get play.
Up here, it's like this: the general manager of the Leafs, the Jays, the Raps, it's like they're so talked about and they're so polarizing to people. And the way that the water cooler talk goes on, like, there's people still to this day, it's like, if Alex Anthopoulos was here, we would have never been through tough times. We would have got through that bump in the road, got rid of Donaldson, got rid of Tulo. I don't know. I just view the GM position in Toronto is different than a lot of big league sports markets.
I totally agree. I mean, obviously, I can't speak for what it's like on a daily basis in New York, Chicago, Atlanta, L.A., but I follow it closely from afar, and I don't believe – it is a day-to-day conversation like it is up here. And I think it's because fans up here, and I can look myself in the mirror on this, love to play amateur GM, love to focus on what's coming. I think a lot of the losing over the years probably led to this as well. Like with the Leafs in particular, when the Leafs went through that run where it was kind of ugly when your boy John Ferguson Jr. took over, it became more of a conversation of how you get 5 years down the road in the five-year plan, right? So it was always about the draft.
Which
it was always about
have.
The rookies. He didn't have it. They weren't going to get there. So it was like, well, you can yell and scream about the current players or the current coach, but they're probably not going to be here in 4 or 5 years if you had a competent GM to turn things around. So I do believe it's different. I think it's a uniquely Toronto storyline where there's always requests out for the GMs to come on. Like, I don't know if Anthopoulos is doing the rounds in Atlanta. Is he doing sports radio down there? I don't know. He's probably been on our show more than he's been on local radio in Atlanta.
I agree.
Yeah. Yet he's a great interview, and I love talking to him. And if they get to the World Series, the grappler will be grappling again and knocking on his door, and hopefully we can get him back on. But I do think where you consider where the Jays are at and how they've turned the corner and how fun they are and 91 wins and moving in the right direction, I don't think there's the same attitude and the same approach to the success of Anthopoulos as there would be if it was still a train wreck in Toronto and people had continued to turn on Shapiron Atkins. You know, like Ross Atkins, his reputation's pretty clean and cut, you know, in Toronto right now. Like he's in a pretty good spot. Mark Shapiro's in a pretty good spot. They get a good team. They're moving in the right direction. They bottomed up, but they're moving back up.
Their whole position amongst fans would be completely different, right? Especially if they were junk this year and that Atlanta team goes to the World Series, people would be just up in arms.
There'd be an open campaign for Rodgers to rehire Anthopoulos, to bring him back home.
Yes.
It would be trending online.
That
bring
is
Alex
totally
back
correct.
Home.
That yep. is totally correct.
But, you know, luckily for Blue Jay fans, you can focus on what you have and where you think you're going, and the competence of Shapiro and Atkins together leads you to believe they're going to piece it together and probably, you know, continue to improve as a club. Maybe not keep up with where Alex is at because all he does is win, you know. But again, it's the players that win. This gets back to the point that you make. Alex Anthopoulos isn't swinging bats.
No.
He's not throwing pitches. Like, he did great work to put the team together, but the team is the team. Like, they're the ones that actually are going to make the World Series, right? They're the ones that went into Dodger Stadium last night.
Dude, it's tough to win in baseball. All the big major sports, everybody says it's so tough to win. Baseball, I've never seen a sport where you honestly have to be on a heater at the right time. Like, look at the Braves right now.
They are on.
They're taking a 109 game winning team, and they're on the brink right now where everybody, I thought honestly, and I'm not a baseball expert, but I'm like, Dodgers are going to crush this team. They got by San Fran. They're going to crush this team. You just get on a heater at the right time, you can do a lot of damage.
You can. I mean, again, it's not exclusive to baseball. It comes up more in baseball because of how long the season is and how short the runway is in the playoffs, for sure.
Yeah.
I think it's more exposed. But look at the Habs. Like, the Habs, it was the same thing. That was not a good team last year. Like, I took so much heat from people in Montreal that would stream the show or listen to the show, and I was like, I don't know how they're pulling this off. Like, I do based on watching the games. They defended really well. Price played really well. They got opportune offense. But that team that went to a cup final was not a great team. They just got hot at the right time, and they performed the same way every single night. They were consistently performing, and they were putting forth a game plan that was very adequate and very effective. So you can't take away the success. The success has already happened. We saw it. We witnessed it. But that Habs team, they were destined to come back to earth, right? Like, they were destined to come back
to earth. Destined to come back to earth. I don't think they wanted to be. I don't think they ever could have thought they'd be in this position right now.
Right.
Four games in the general manager, which I give Berger a lot of credit because that took some heat off some players, because all they were talking about yesterday was the general manager coming out. They weren't singling out guys and picking a guy to rip, which I'm sure they're doing anyway, but that took some heat off the players, so I'll give him credit for that. I also found it weird how he came out and addressed everything, Hayes, and his tenure there is kind of in limbo right
Absolutely,
now.
Absolutely, yeah. He's a lame duck.
Yeah, like most GMs would be like, man, I might be gassed. There was a report that he might be getting gassed within a couple weeks, and then he goes out and defends his team. So it's a weird dynamic there for sure.
Yeah, and Jesperi Kotkaniemi is...
Oh, that just adds a spicy meatball onto the situation, doesn't it?
He's
like, this kid
tonight.
Goes in there. If he wheels in there and rips home three tonight, there'll be trash thrown on the ice.
Yeah, well, I guess he's playing with Aho and Teravainen too, right? He's on the top line, so he's going to play 20 minutes tonight. And I'll give Brind'Amour credit, because that is putting him in a position to succeed, right? When he signed the offer sheet, we all looked at it the same way. We said, this guy's not a $6.1 million player, not even close. But if you're riding shotgun with guys who can perform and you chip in, maybe he's got 50 points at the end of the year. And you say, that's reasonable. You know, it's maybe not 6.1 and whatever the qualifying offer is going to be. If it's going higher than that, I'm not sure it'll make sense in the future. But you play with Sebastian Aho and Teravainen, you're gonna have a crack at something tonight.
Yeah.
Right? And he didn't do enough in that city to be revered or beloved, but he was talked about a lot because he went third overall. They've been seeking out a number one center for as long as they have been, and he did perform extremely well in the playoffs. Like, his numbers in the playoffs are actually off the charts.
They
like,
are. Regular season, nothing to write home about
nothing.
Whatsoever, but he's a playoff performer.
And
imagine, though, like, Montreal, didn't they passed on Brady Tkachuk?
Brady Tkachuk went fourth in that draft.
I remember there was a lady at that draft, and she was just devastated that they took Kotkaniemi. She was beside herself in the stands. She
like up in the stands
it.
As a half.
Oh,
fan.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She had the jersey on, and her face was just – she was devastated. Anyway, they're both good players. Brady's obviously the choice right now. And I don't know what to delay with him. Like, just give him the captaincy. Like, just put the C on his jersey and say, go ahead. I know it's not a big deal, but don't wait for him to find his game or whatever. Just name him the captain.
Well, he's back tonight, and you're right. He committed for 7 years. You know it's coming, right? He didn't sign a 1 year deal, and we'll kick the can down the road, and I'll make a decision on whether or not I want to be here. You know who he is, what he is, and what he's going to represent. I'm with you. Like, he is the captain, and I think everyone knows it. Pierre Dorion knows it. I think DJ Smith knows it, and maybe it would just be too much at once, like he's easing
maybe,
back into
yes.
it. And if you anoint him the captain, then he's got to do the rounds and he's got to represent that whole topic as opposed to just easing into the season. And I guess in the end, again, it really, there is no rush. Like, the Leafs won a couple of years without a captain. It didn't seem to, you know, cause that many problems within the room. And I don't believe Ottawa's had one since Carlson left, right? So it's been a few years for Ottawa, and their franchise continues to exist, and they continue to move on. So if you wait a couple of weeks, but I think it's going to happen with Brady Tkachuk. It feels like it will happen at some point with Matthew Tkachuk, likely in Calgary, right? Like, that kind of feels like where it's going with both guys. And but I'm curious to see how Tkachuk, you know, hits the ground running tonight in Ottawa, because they've been off to a pretty good start, you know, and they're a team that's, I think, going to be lurking. I don't think they're a playoff team. I don't think they're ready to take that big of a step forward here, but I think they could be a team that could end up with – it wouldn't be shocked if they had 84, 85 points, you know, like a pretty good season, and a team that is to be reckoned with, and I think Brady Tkachuk will lead the charge in that as long as he didn't miss too
baseball, much. The way you describe baseball is playing meaningful games in September. I think come end of March, I think they could be playing some meaningful games, and that's all you can ask for. Like, they're making a push to maybe get there. That could be a situation for them, and I think if they do that, it's almost a victory. As Pat Quinn would say, that's a loser's race, but they could be in that situation where they're playing some meaningful games in March and making a push.
Yep. Well, listen.
Their goaltender, apparently he's good enough to go, so he likes
playing
Matt
Murray.
San Jose. Yeah,
he's willing to play tonight. Yeah, he's going to play tonight. And, you know, we don't know the story behind that, why he – I know he wasn't feeling well, but there was no details on it. It wasn't COVID-related.
Yeah. And I go crazy sometimes, Hayes, on some guys. And it's not just goaltenders. It's a lot of goaltenders, position players as well. I find it amazing how these little tweaks and stuff – and trust me, people, I do my research. I talk to different people in organizations, and there's reports back where it's like nobody knows what the deal is. Like, there's nothing on an MRI, there's nothing here, there's nothing there, and it's just the guy saying, when they're on a heater, they're never coming out. Like, they're just never on a hot streak, always when they're playing like garbage. I don't know. I can't figure it out. Fishy
well,
to me.
I think it was, I mean, Freddie Anderson, I think, was a part of that last year. Like, there was a lot of uncertainty about what was going on with him and why he wasn't prepared to step back in.
Nobody's really said what was his deal.
No one's ever said anything like defined as to exactly what it was or why it was determined he wasn't going to play. and Murray will go tonight. They're playing San Jose. Then San Jose is in town tomorrow. That's a 6 o'clock game. Why is that at 6 o'clock? Like, it's on TSN, right? So we should probably have that answer. I've been trying to find it. When do you play a 6 o'clock game during the week?
Are you saying the game that I'm doing tomorrow is a 6 o'clock game?
I believe so. You're what? Not aware of that? Yeah, last time I checked, it was a 6
that's
o'clock
an
game.
That's an error. I'm not doing a 6 o'clock game.
I'm telling you. Let me look this up again.
So you're saying 5:30 pregame show?
I'm telling you right now that as of this second, the puck drops at 6 o'clock. Michael Hutchinson is getting the start.
No. Grappler, can you chime in here if you got your mic on?
He did. 5:30 pregame. You're done at 5 tomorrow. So you're doing an hour with us in the studio. And then you
Who the hell has a 6 o'clock game on a Friday at ACC?
I've never seen it. I don't know. I mean, I know they did that with the kids game, the youth game. That was at 2 o'clock or whatever.
Yeah.
But why is it a 6 o'clock game? I honestly don't know. I couldn't find that out today. It's like an aberration. It's as if someone screwed up and they just said, nah, forget it. You know, we've already printed off the tickets. Just leave it. 6 o'clock. Like, when have the Leafs ever played at 6 o'clock?
I gotta put a note in to get to the bottom of that. I find that to be bizarre.
Yeah. Well, it's happening. You know, the Raptors are playing in Boston tomorrow. I think that's tip-off at 7:30.
Oof. And I got a feeling listening to Jacko and company after the game, Hayes. There's going to be a lot of didn't quite have it tonight, but you see in some strides type of hits after games.
Yeah, I was a little bit, I wouldn't say taken aback, and we got Jack coming up. Jack is on in 10 minutes, but Leo and Sam and Kate were talking specifically at the half about some of the defensive issues that the team had last night. And they did. In the first half, they were missing a lot of assignments, and they were isolating specific guys. Scotty Barnes got burned a couple of times. But I don't have any concern about the defense long term. I have a lot of concerns about the offense and who's going to create it. Last night was some of the worst offensive play.
83?
They shot just over 30% from the field. They were, through three quarters, they were under 30%. That is incredibly difficult to do in 2021 when it's a shooter's league and you have to be built to shoot the ball. I think they shot 20% from three last night. Like, it was as bad as you can get. They were 31% from the field. They were 20% from three last night. And only 72% from the line
against Washington.
And Matt Devlin said it multiple times last night, Washington was the worst defensive team in the league last night. Like, or last season. That's how bad it was last night. Like, I talked to the grappler earlier. He's like, well, I think maybe the team was prepared for this. I'm like, I'll give you that if they played Milwaukee last night, right? If that was against Miami last night, that was against Washington. The Washington Generals, a.k.a. the Wizards, came in and blew the doors off the Raptors. They put up 83 points, and that is a concern. Without Siakam, they don't have enough guys who can control the offense and guys who can create their own offense. Like, OG Anunoby is not built to do that. He's not. I know a lot of people are hyping him up for a big offensive explosion this year. I don't see it in his repertoire. Fred VanVleet, we all love. He's not a big enough guy to create. Like, he can get to the paint. They actually did a decent job of getting there. They didn't finish that well last night. But you know what last night was to me watching that game? That was a Kyle Lowry appreciation night was what that was last night. That was Kyle Lowry appreciation night. We've talked about Kyle all summer. And we've asked everyone in the organization that we've had on, what's it like without Kyle? What do you miss most about Kyle? And they've told us about stuff behind the scenes, which I think we can all appreciate because it's not information we're privy to. What we are privy to in the past is watching Kyle play. And if he's playing last night, it's not 98-83. They're not putting up 83 points. Kyle Lowry is dragging them more into the fight. Their effort was called out by multiple players and the coach. They didn't defend strong enough. They didn't work hard enough. And that's what it stood
Dude,
out.
A home opener against Washington. It was nonsense, is what it was.
It was an awful performance.
Yeah, but that's what you're going to get while they're finding their way. It's going to be a lot of, because I know at the end of a game, when you're doing a game on TSN, you got to do a post game hit and basically put everything into big picture into one little 3-minute hit. And there's going to be a lot of, you know, they're learning their way and they're finding their way. They just didn't have it, but this guy has showed some strides.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't be surprised if there's going to be a lot of that, which, as a fan, you're like, that's a long year.
That's a long year coming up. Listen, it's overreaction Thursday. It's one game of 82.
It is.
But again, that was Washington last night. That was not Milwaukee who rolled through town. That was not Utah who was in the house. You know, LeBron wasn't there playing shutdown defense on OG Anunoby. That was the Washington Wizards who held them to 83 points and 30% from the field. So that's, I expect way better effort. I expect defensive shutdown. Again, they only gave up 98 to Washington. In the modern era in the regular season, that's not a bad defensive performance. But if you score 83 right now, that's 1955 NBA offense. Like, you can't win with 83 points and shooting 30% from the field and 20% from three. So I don't know who's going to walk in that room. Siakam's not coming back anytime soon. Who's going to really push it forward to the point where they can keep up with some offensive explosions from the opposition if they go on runs, because they're not built that way right now.
Dude, the Cavaliers had 121 last night. Cavaliers.
Yeah, it wasn't a good night. For the home opener, I thought they did a great job with the opening and with the shirts and with the saying, and they do incredibly well with that, the Raptors.
Yeah, Freddie addressed the crowd.
It was outstanding.
The crowd.
Yeah, it was outstanding. And I knew a bunch of people that were down there last night. They said it was awesome to be in the building, the feeling, the buzz. We talked to Sam Mitchell a couple hours before tip off, and he said it was awesome down there. And then it was just deflating, because before you knew it, the Wizards were running away with the game. And the Raps just never had anything. Like, they never really had anything. And, again, all I could think of in the back of my mind was Kyle Lowry appreciation. Like, this is the first time we really get to see them without him. And you could feel his absence last night. In a game like last night, you could feel it. Jack Armstrong coming up. Our boy Darcy Tucker. Tux is coming up at 5:05.
Oh, the Friend Stealer show. I love it.
Yes, we're going to catch up with Tux and see what he's up to. And he's doing the rounds today. I guess he's been pumping the tires of your boy Michael Bunting. We'll ask him what he sees in his game and why he's been such a fan. And it's a lot to get into with him. He might like a golf cart as much, if not more, than you. It's probably the only guest we've had on that supports the golf cart game as much as you do.
What do you mean? He just will not play without it?
I haven't seen him do it without it. I mean,
what are you, strapping your bag over your shoulder and playing copping with? You've been a member there 1 year. You haven't walked that course.
I've walked probably two or three times. Like, here's the truth.
Let me ask you the follow-up. Did you not hate it like the worst thing in your life?
Yeah, afterwards I was like, why did I just do that? There was no point. I mean, there's an element of gratification, because you're like, all right, I guess I got my steps in and all that kind of stuff. But I had these big plans of walking and all, and it just doesn't happen. Like, I'll be the first to admit.
Dude, you know what's not a bad – the only thing that's not a bad deal is if you got a three ball and they're all kind of good players and you just strap a three bag, an extra bag thing on the cart, and one person walks in between shots, that's more than doable. I'm not kidding. My handicap thing on the Golf Canada app, 72, 71, 68, 72, 61. The one time I had to walk at Mad River, which you have to be a billy goat to walk up these hills, 86. I couldn't breathe when I got to my ball. 86!
That's my inside track at beating you one day, is we show up, we commit to playing, and you have to walk the course.
No, you know that routine. Home.
Yeah. Well, you did it that one time. That means it's possible. It's in you. You have
the ability.
At the
end of the day, it's motivation to get in better shape. Because I would love to be like Pooley, where it's like, you show up. I play with guys that are older than me. They're fit as hell. They walk every day.
No
problem.
Going, yeah.
And it's the most casual walk, like bag over the shoulder, not sweating, not panting. If I walk up the hill on number 3 at Westin walking with a bag, I am dying.
You need a Sherpa to get up number 3 at Westin. I know.
Dude,
that
you
feeling.
You wouldn't be any different. It's halfway up that hill, you're like, why am I even here right? Why am I walking?
I know. It stops becoming fun, and it stops becoming a leisurely walk, and all of a sudden it's a
workout. There's other things in your cart you get set up you can't do. You can't have the coffee going. You can't have other elements going.
You can't have the
going.
Phone while you're driving down the fairway. No. We all know what's up.
There's a lot of don'ts to not having the cart.
All right, so you're on the clock with your pick tonight for the Thursday Nighter. Because you're you're out of here at 5 tomorrow. We'll probably do the whole slate of games. We'll look at the Sunday games as well, the 1 and the 4 and the 7 o'clock game, or the Sunday nighter, I should say. Jack Armstrong coming up, his take on night 1 of the Raptors season. What did he like? What did he not like out of their performance? There's probably a lot. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. All right, the Raptors are back in action in Boston tomorrow night, and then Dallas and Luka in town on Saturday night. This Ben Simmons story continues to just go around and around and around. I guess he showed up today, claims he's got back issues now. He's not mentally prepared to play for the team, and they have no idea if he's going to play because they're supposed to play tomorrow night. And I guess he'll show up for shoot-around, and it's against the Nets. They're playing Brooklyn tomorrow night on ESPN. It's a big game. They have no idea if Ben Simmons is going to be a part of the program, if he wants
Dude,
to be a part of the program.
You can't have him there on a game day, man. That'll be a disaster.
I totally agree. Let's see what Jack Armstrong thinks about this. Here's our TSN Raptors and NBA analyst. If you were running the show in Philly, how would you handle this Ben Simmons story?
Well, I think they're in a tough spot, guys, as you know. I mean, I think it's worse for the team for Ben Simmons. I mean, we saw James Harden kind of force his way out of Houston a year ago. And here we are 12 months later. I remember when it happened. But he's fine. Everything's good. He's playing with the Nets. And other than the people in Houston being ticked off, he's James Harden. He's a superstar, and life goes on. And then that'll be the same thing for Ben Simmons. Yeah, when he comes back once or twice a year to Philadelphia, they'll boom and they'll be all over his case and this, that, the other thing. But he'll go to another market. There'll be an owner and executives and coaches and team and fan base that'll all forgive him, and life will go on. So I think the problem is, you know, as long as Ben Simmons and his representatives are willing to lose some money, then, you know, they'll get what they want eventually. The problem is, I think, Daryl Morey, the GM of the Sixers, has been asking people for a king's ransom, and the Sharks are circling, and everybody knows the kid's not playing for the Sixers anymore. And, you know, they're going to wait, and they're going to wait, and they're going to get a better offer, make a better offer and get a better offer back than exists. And, you know, it's interesting. Obviously, I follow the Buffalo Sabres, and you see what's going on with Jack Eichel, and here they are off to a 3-0 start, and who knows how long it'll last. But, hey, good for them. But the difference is people have questions from a health perspective about Jack Eichel. So that puts Jack Eichel in a tough spot, and it puts the Sabres in a tough spot because there's a lot of questions of, if I trade for this guy, can he play? I think we all know that if you trade for Ben Simmons, he can play. So I think the Sixers are in a tough spot, and they're going to have to, you know, kind of reflect on where they're at and kind of reboot on what they're asking and be more fair and reasonable based upon the situation, because the other 29 teams are going, I'm not giving you that because – You're screwed. You're in a corner right now, and you got to be more fair and reasonable to make a deal here.
That's what I don't understand, Jack. With both players you just mentioned, Simmons and Eichel, isn't the smart play by the general manager in both instances? Like, the idea of the king's ransom for both of these players, and Simmons is a good player. I don't think he's a great player. Like, he has issues shooting. Like, who wants to give up a king's ransom for a guy that has issues shooting? And for Eichel, I think it's just best, to move on from it. You're not going to get a king's ransom. End of story. Even if he has the surgery and comes back and he's healthy, whatever. Just, I think the best play is move on from the player, get the best you can, and let your organization move on.
Well, here's the other thing. And, you know, we talk about, a lot of times we're talking about skill. How about the makeup? You know, like, how about the guy? How about the human being? You know, about...
Like, who could be watching Simmons right now with the way he's carrying on, saying, I got to bring that into my locker room? Like, give me a break.
Well, you know, a lot of people felt that way about James Harden. He's pretty damn good. You know, so it's just... Now, James Harden's a much better player than Ben
That's
Simmons.
Right.
And James Harden's a much better player than Jack Eichel, quite frankly. So it's just a matter of... I think the teams that do their true due diligence, it's more about, hey, look, I look at a guy and I go, okay, I know what his shooting ability is, this, that, the other thing. You know, I sit with my coaching staff and I'll go, hey, can we fix this guy or not? Can we make this guy Giannis or some version of Giannis? But the difference is when I look at Ben Simmons, I'm saying, wait a minute, does he have the eye of the tiger? Does he have big you-know-what like Giannis? Because Giannis will rip your heart out. And, you know, that to me is what we're really talking about. And I think teams, that's, you know, when they get together and they shut the door and they go, okay, look, we know he can do this, 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 and we know he can't do this, this, this. But the bottom line is this the guy I want in the foxhole next to me? Is this the guy that I'm going to be able to walk down that dark alley with, and he's going to have my back? And, you know, is he that kind of guy? And I think when you evaluate that, that's really where it's at. And the Sixers are in a tough spot. And I think other teams are saying, look, if I'm going to take some of this, and I already know he has X, Y, and Z flaws in his actual skill set, I'm more concerned with what are the flaws of the guy. And, you know, how does he fit in my room? And is when push comes to shove, when the chips are down and it's 102-101 and the game's on the line, is this guy going to vault forward and make a play to help us win, or is he going to shrink? And that's where we're at.
With Jack Armstrong, our Raptors analyst, the truth is we could have used Ben Simmons. We could use Jack Eichel on the floor last night at Scotiabank. I mean, the Raptors, I think Jack would have shot like 40% from the field and probably boosted the numbers a little bit. That offensive production out of this Raptors team was as awful as I have seen in a long time. They barely shoot 30%. That's because of what happened in the fourth quarter. 20% from three. And I said earlier this hour, Jack, last night was a Kyle Lowry appreciation night for me, because we've talked a lot about why Kyle has missed in camp and on the buses and in the hotels and in the room. We finally got to see why he's missed on the court, because they had nothing cooking last night. I can't believe they performed the way they did. What did you make of it? You were in the building calling the game, watching it live, courtside. What was it like from that vantage point?
You know, to watch the body language, particularly the guys I know well, you know, OG Anunoby, Fred VanVleet, Chris Boucher. Now, Chris Boucher obviously has been out, and clearly he was rusty. But watching OG Anunoby and Fred VanVleet up close and personal, to me, you know, I hope I'm not dating myself, but there's enough people now that are, even the younger people that are into vinyl and to listening to music on records. And I was laughing. I ran into a fan when I was walking to the washroom last night. He said, they're playing like frantic. And I said, you know, you make a good point. And I just said to the guy, I said, hey, you know, you're old enough. You know, you get it. I said, you know, it's like a record that's supposed to play at 33 RPMs and it's playing at 78. It throws your whole game out of whack. And watching OG Anunoby and Fred VanVleet last night, they were like way too hyped up. They were way too speeded up. And it throws your whole game out of whack. You know, you're just all over the place. You know, you're making like caffeine look nervous. You know what I'm saying? It's
right.
Like you're just too jumpy. You know, it's like three bottles of 5-hour energy or a Red Bull or whatever. And that to me, watching them, Precious Achiuwa just blow lob dunks early on. I mean, that's like 4 or 6 points there that were really nice plays, and just you don't make them. And I don't know. I just, to me, I looked at them and I just thought they were way too keyed up, too hyped up. And the other thing, and again, I'm not making an excuse. It's just fact. I mean, they didn't play a game for 8 days, and you know, there's a whole different gear when you play. After playing 5 preseason games, and now you play a game that matters, and suddenly the Wizards are like at that next gear, and they got a lot of veteran guys, and they're ready to play, and you don't have that many veteran guys, and your veteran guys are at home, and they haven't played at home in 600 days, and they're all keyed up, and they have championship rings, and they want to perform at a high level, and they care. So I don't know. Maybe I think in some ways they tried too hard. And in no way, shape, or form do I look out there last night and say these guys didn't play hard enough or try hard enough. I think they tried too hard. And I think they were way too keyed up, and they were just all out of whack. And I think they'll calm down and they'll settle down. And, yeah, they had some issues offensively, no doubt about it. But I look at this team based upon what I've seen so far, just watching them in training camp in the preseason and even last night. There's talent there. There's ability. Are there going to be nights so that they look the way they did last night? Yes, definitely. Is this a championship team? No. But is this a team that can contend for a playoff spot? I think they can. And when they settle down and kind of get into a flow, I think they'll be fine.
Jack, I'll give them hyped up for one night. You mentioned OG being hyped up and too caffeinated, whatever you want to call it. But when you talk about replacing Kyle, everyone in the organization would throw out the standard line, which is it's got to be by committee. But do you think he can settle himself down and develop into a more consistent scorer, or is that just a work in progress?
Well, I loved what I saw from OG Anunoby in preseason. I love what I saw from him after the All-Star break last year. And I think he's a stock that you buy. I think he's it's not even a hold or a sell. He's a buy. I think he's ready to take another step. And as things kind of settle down on their team and they figure out role definition and style of play and this, that, the other thing, I think he'll be good. I like what I'm seeing. I like where he's at in his development. He's super smart, super tough, committed, plays hard. His skill set has improved. He's got a great makeup. And to me, I think he's a guy that can guard at any level, any position in the league, and be one of the better defenders in the league. And I think his offense is coming along nicely. So, I just thought he was out of control last night and not himself. And Fred VanVleet, I thought the same thing. There were times he was trying to do way too much and kind of taking his game into the trees in there sometimes, into the big fellas. And sometimes he has a tough time getting his game off in there. And, again, I think as things settle down around him, he'll pick his spots better. I think he's more of a perimeter guy. He can finish at times in the lane when the space is there for him to get to the rim and beat his guy one-on-one. But when there's a lot of help closing in, he just does not have the size to finish all that traffic consistently.
What'd you make of Scotty Barnes in his pro debut last night?
Well, again, I like to look at things in the bigger picture rather than one night. I mean, I liked what I saw from him last night. I really like what I've seen from him sitting and watching practice, watching him play 5 preseason games, and then last night. Now, was he as good last night as what I'd seen prior? No, but no one was. But I like what I see. He can handle it. He can pass it. He's got good vision. He's smart. He's got a really good feel for the game. He is not a guy that you're going to go and say he's going to get 30 one night and this, that. He's going to be a guy that will kind of spread it along. You know, he'll get you 12 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals, a block. He's going to kind of, it's interesting. I did the TSN pregame show the other day, and Sam Mitchell made a good point. He says he's not this guy. He says, but he got a lot of Scottie Pippen in his game where he's going to be a really good player on a lot of different fronts. Kind of like I saw Tracy McGrady when he was a young player here in Toronto. He's got a lot of that in him. Is he at the level of a Scottie Pippen or Tracy McGrady? Those guys are Hall of Famers. In no way, shape, or form am I implying that. I would never put that kind of pressure on him. I just think that he has a lot of those attributes where he can impact the game in a number of ways. And I think as he develops a pet move or two as well, he had a beautiful lefty hook last night. He's shown the hook a few times. He just has to get, to a point where he's got a pet move on the left block, a pet move on the right block, a pet move going on the right side of the floor, left side of the floor, middle of the floor, all the little counters to that. But that's all going to come. But there's no doubt he has a really good base because he sees things, he handles it, his handle's tight, he passes it, he's smart. The view isn't blurry, you know, like there's clarity when he plays. You know, like, you know, a really good players have peripheral vision and they see the other nine. It's like a quarterback with, you know, the all 22 that they do. I mean, really good. He has that. Like, that's the thing I really like about him. Like, wow, that's cool. He saw that. You know, guys that aren't that good don't see that play out of the left corner of their eye when they're right-hand dominant. You know what I'm saying? And, like, he's got that in him. So there's a lot of cool stuff that he has within him that it's just going to take time to develop. But to me, you know, to use a baseball analogy, I think when it's all said and done, he's going to be hitting in the middle of the order. He's going to be your 3-4-5 hitter. He's that good.
All right, Jack, we're off and running. Game 1 of 82. Fans Hello. Back in the stands. Drake was in the house last night. You guys were in the house. It was great to see. We'll do it again soon. Thank you, buddy.
You got it, guys. Have a great night.
There is Jack Armstrong, our TSN Raptors analyst, and it was cool to see the whole TSN crew down there, the packed house. Drake was there, and, you know, Drake going at it with Montrezl Harrell. Harrell gets teed up because he's chirping at Drake. I still don't know how that works. Mm-hmm. But I guess maybe that is the rules. You can't chirp with a fan. And Drake, even though it doesn't feel like a fan, he is one. And he paid for his ticket or he's sitting in seats. And I don't think Montrezl Harrell cares, though, because they walked away with a win and he got teed up for chirping Drake, right?
What is that deal with Drake? Was that like a – they signed that a few years back, didn't they? Like, that's almost a three-year-old pact, isn't it?
Oh,
I
yeah.
Wonder how his long seats? What's his agreement, though? Is that like a 10-year thing?
I have no idea. I don't know if it's a lifetime thing. I don't even know if it is a contract. Like, I'm not sure he signed anything, or is it just kind of a gentleman's agreement? Like, I'll work with you, you work with me.
Wouldn't the idea of them working with him, they'd have to pay him?
I don't know. I mean, listen, their practice facility is called the OVO Center, so that benefits Drake, and I believe Drake had to pay for the naming rights of that. For sure he'd have to. Whether he got a deal or not is a different story. But, you know, I don't know. I mean, I would think those seats are probably comp, probably comes with the territory, wouldn't you think?
I think he gets paid to be there in bat. Like, I would think that Drake gets paid a lot for that game.
He might. I don't know if he needs to, right? Like, and it's not like he couldn't afford those seats if he did pay for them. He wouldn't even flinch. Like, he wouldn't care if he had to pay for them. Like, they'd be expensive seats, but it's not something he could pay and change if he wanted to. We got a pair of tickets to give away later this afternoon to the game on Monday. Chicago's in town on Monday. DeMar DeRozan in town on Monday night. DeMar is now a Chicago Bull. The Bulls had a big win last night. So we'll give those tickets away a little bit later this afternoon. Daryl Morey, the president of basketball operations in Philly, is speaking on the radio in Philly right now. He's talking about the Ben Simmons deal. And we'll tell you about that, what he had to say. We got Darcy Tucker coming up. We're picking the game tonight and the rest of the slate on Sunday. That's still to come as well. Al's brother will be in studio. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. All right, Darcy Tucker and Al's brother coming up in hour two. Al's brother will be in for the picks, right? You're going to make the picks on your own. He'll respond to them.
I don't know fair. If he's going to be in or not, okay? I thought we just had a big to-do that I'm finally going to make them on my own. I think it's time for me to do this on my own.
No, you are making the picks on your own. I don't want you to be influenced, and I'm not saying he won't say a peep about the pick before you make the pick. After the pick, he can make comments.
Okay.
I think that's fair. I think that's safe. It has nothing to do with what you're going to do. He can just evaluate the process.
Okay.
And there's a very good chance he's going to see the board the same way you do. I mean, you guys are two peas in a pod when it comes to gambling.
That is wherein lies the problems, though. I told you that. He is making decisions that I have to ultimately pay for. Dude, if he was paying you, I don't care what he does. The segment means nothing to me. But I have to pay.
Right. Yeah, you do. And Al's brother is just along for the ride.
That's right. Right. It's a game to him. It's
yeah,
a game.
He's free rolling. Yeah, he's just having a good time. Exactly. Yeah. So Al's brother, we'll have him in, and I guess he had some revelation on Leafs Lunch today that Al's brother's mother has put up her Christmas tree already, which...
that is outrageous.
It is outrageous, but I feel like it's coming
heard...
to my house.
What?
Yeah, I do.
Dude, Halloween like hasn't even... I almost can understand 2 days after Halloween, go ahead, fire up the tree. But this is outrageous, man.
Yeah, it has to be before Halloween. You're right. And I'm in a bit of a different spot because I have a November birthday in the house. My daughter's a November birthday, so usually we try to get past that. But they're already singing Christmas songs here because there's no Halloween songs. You know, there's no Thanksgiving songs. So, like, my youngest is at daycare, and they're singing songs. She's coming home singing Jingle Bells and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. And I'm like, here we go. It's already here. It's in the house. You know, it's in the house. Christmas is here. Eggnog is out. My wife was looking for eggnog today. I'm like, it's way too early. I can't get on the eggnog train. I can't. Because once I get a taste of the eggnog, you know what's coming. It's going to start to get spiked a little bit, and it's going to be a good time. It's going to be
just
very
enjoy,
jolly around here.
And enjoy the Christmas spirit, because when that thing's gone, it just turns into flat out, what are you getting me? Like, what can I get? Like, they're Santa, the whole idea, it's so awesome to see the looks on their face, and that just disappears.
When,
like,
you're saying you got older kids, you mean? Because your girls are older. Yeah.
They literally morph into just, can you get me this? Thank you. There's no spirit anymore. There's no...
Well, that's on you, man. You got to bring the spirit. I can see you doing it. I could see you being jolly, and you bring the Christmas spirit, man. That's...
Dude, I get it, but the whole idea of...
I know what you're saying. I got what you're saying, and I'm still in that wheelhouse. So that's what's coming here relatively soon. We'll get Al's brother to expand on that. And he and Darcy Tucker coming up in the next hour. We'll continue to look back in the Leaf game, look ahead to Game 5, potentially a closeout for my Atlanta Braves at Dodger Stadium tonight. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4.
This hour of the Overdrive podcast was brought to you by Felix. Erectile dysfunction treatment online. Felix can connect you to a doctor to assess ED and, if applicable, deliver treatment to your door. Visit felix.ca.